And welcome to episode 78 of Slaytanning Vercast. I'm Mo from France, and to my west, broadcasting live from Putin's victory speech in Red Square, is Dr. Liquescence.
Well, mate, as you know, with my political aspirations, I do not like this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like this man.
No.
But it was very interesting to be. And observe, I suppose, maybe I was hoping to observe it too much, and so therefore I did. An almost perfect mixture of communism and fascism from the 50s. Because you're expected to simultaneously obey and follow him and his organisation. And mm-hmm. I've never seen that done equally before. I've seen many occasions where leaders are obey me, and I've seen many, many, many occasions where leaders are, I'm merely the leader for this year or this month. Actually, you should follow the organization.
Sure.
I've never seen anybody come up with, what's the gangster gesture where you poke out your forefinger and your little finger?
Mm-hmm.
And you stab them towards people to threaten them.
I don't know the name. I know exactly what you mean. I don't know the name for it.
But it's one of those,
yeah.
Because what comes out of his mouth is, you should feel threatened by me and my organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to follow up on what we're discussing today. But it's similar to one of the things about modern Christianity, which I do not understand. And I've mentioned it before. Anyone who's willing to explain it to me, let me know. Because I don't understand how we are supposed to worship only one God, but we're also informed of three.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the same mouth, in the same sentence, people will say, there's only one God.
Yeah.
But worship these three.
Yeah, but then they'll do that little ritual where they say, but they do like the cross thing and say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, won't they? They'll do both.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Did you get to speak to President Eternal or not?
Did I?
Mm. Yeah. Well, sometimes, Doc, you move in mysterious circles. What can I tell you?
Well, honestly, I was frightened.
Mm.
I was frightened because I think for the first time. Certainly the first time in my own existence. And I want to know if there's been one of these at some other period in history. A leader who, and I said this a minute ago, simultaneously, almost as the same thing,
mm.
it's him and his organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest I can think to it is the Roman era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where
you Caesars.
Mm-hmm. And the Caesar as a person would be simultaneously with the history of leadership of the Roman Empire.
But there must be some connection, between the word Caesar and Tsar, hadn't there, Doc?
I think, if I remember correctly, Tsar was an attempt to create a word in its own language, mm. that sounded a bit like Caesar. It's not a translation. It doesn't right. have the. It never historically had the same meaning, but they wanted a word that sounded yeah. a bit like Caesar.
So it's not like etymologically linked.
No.
No, about that. Yeah.
It was invented to sound similar.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, Doc, you've been very, very erudite about Putin there, as you always are. I'll give you the Mo summary. He's a fucking cunt. Chow time, motherfuckers. Only the one. And it's more of a housekeeping point. Last episode, the Stain of Mind episode, I fucked up the edit a little bit. And what it meant was, and what I did, I know exactly what I did. Right. As I'm pulling down, let's get a bit behind the curtain, shall we, Doc, right? As I'm pulling down videos from multiple sources, YouTube, Dailymotion, etc., to use as clips to drop in, obviously, that you know those videos are at different volumes. So what I end up with is like 3, 4, maybe sometimes up to like 7 or 8 different tracks, all with slightly different volume settings, so that you know, so they're all kind of roughly about the same volume. So you're not blowing people's speakers when they're playing it. 3 of those drop-ins were muted because they were on a channel that I had foolishly muted. Sorry about that, guys. If I get a chance, I might put up an edit, you know, like a fixed version of it. But work pressure at the moment means it ain't likely for a bit, but I'll get around to it at some point. What have we been listening to? Well, Doc, here we go. I've got a tune for you today, Doc. There's a band called Die Antwoord.
Shepard. I represent South African culture. In this place, you get a lot of different things. Blacks, whites, coloureds, English, Afrikaans, Xhosa, Zulu, Vatuka, Mlaq. All these different things, all these different people, fucked into one person.
Have you heard of these guys?
No.
They're South African. They play a style of music which is called Zef rap. And Zef is apparently like Afrikaan word for like urban and street.
Okay.
And they're absolutely fucking brilliant. Some of their stuff is great. Now, Die Antwoord means the answer, apparently, in Afrikaan. Now then, there's this girl called Ziani. She's a rapper too. Well, actually, she does more than just rapping. She does. She's a musician. You know, she's got a creative sort too. And she posted a video a few years ago entitled "The Question." So you've got the answer, the advert, and she's posted like a beef video called "The Question," in which Doc. She accuses the main guy of raping and molesting her and basically being a grooming motherfucker paedophile. Mate, it's fucking astonishing. I'm going to play it right now. You intrigued?
Yes.
Here we go. Doc, I think this is so good. I'm just going to play the whole thing, this entirety, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
It's only about 3 minutes. Brace yourselves, listeners. Here we go. Ziani, The question.
You say you're fucking 50 because I look like your daughter 16. You're disgusting, pedophile cunt. Crazy drag that I'm fine at me gushing. Stop crying, that schoolboy you're running. You jack white trash gangster smile. But I come from that nightmare, you fake fuck. I'm about to pay the price, but I buy your boxer. You shared those photos, one not set with one cunt. Emailed them to cop me, that was a crime cunt. For the way you treated me, I'll expose and defeat you. No, woe is me, woe is you, your boo-boo is broken. 20 years to find out I'm deceived. The night went from the internet, so who came to me? I never told what happened, cause the fear of disbelief. For years my brain could not conceive what happened to me. Torture, ritual, candle, visual. An innocent girl and a sick individual. Torture, ritual, candle, visual. An innocent girl and a sick individual. If you were not done yet, you would make me regret not buying your bullshit like the perfect pair. I suffered in silence, I did not complain. Sat back and watched on as you played your games. Go ahead and tell a story and deflect how you always do about the weird vegan fan that was so in love with you. You wrote sex about me, you wrote ugly boy about me, I wrote this about you, I think it's fair trade, dude. Ugly on the skin, the fucking uglier within. You paint your golden heart, but your heart is black as skin. Welcome to your life, I think I killed you in a past life. Just know that when you die, you know the demons up your ass. Eternal hell and torture. Hope it was worth the fame and fortune. You dumb motherfucker. Ritual, candle, visual, an innocent girl and a sick individual. Torture, ritual, candle, visual, an innocent girl and a sick individual.
Doc, I think that is fucking fire, mate. What about you?
What a great track.
Yeah.
What great a great song. Track.
And just the words she's spitting are just so, just so potent. I recommend anybody go and watch the video on YouTube, because it's just her on the roof of what looks like a multi-story car park. I think they're in Australia. I think she's Australian. And you know, she's this tiny little dot, looks about 5'1", 5'2". She's pretty as a picture. She's got dreads. I think they're like pink dreads. She's wearing an M&M top, like a little schoolgirl skirt and Doc Martens. Honestly, she looks fucking badass, Doc. I fucking love it. It's absolutely great. You tell me, I'm a bit excited about that one, can't you, Doc?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
So I've been very ignorant about hip-hop for approximately the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to be told or have it explained to me by a song, because I didn't think or I didn't imagine that hip-hop would be like that anymore. I didn't imagine it would have any recourse to the kind of hip-hop that I used to enjoy before the year 2000.
Sure.
And I'm very, very happy to hear a song like that. Very, very happy.
Great, Doc. Yeah, I thought you'd like it. I think it's absolutely fucking wild. Right, then, topic. Now then, Doc, I've got a question here. And it's not the kind of question I would normally ask. But, and I've got to credit the source. I heard it being discussed on a different podcast called Sacred Symbols, which is a PlayStation podcast. And I thought the question was so great because it is so correct. I've just stolen it, Doc, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here we go. Why are goth girls either smoking hot or ugly as fuck, Doc, and nothing in between? The reason I love the question, Doc, is I think it's true. I've had this thought myself. What's our take on that, Doc?
Oh, blimey. Oh, crikey.
I know you don't like judgmental of me, but you know.
No, I'm actually thinking about it at the moment. It's an environment which has puts, and this is not me being judgeful. It's an environment which puts a lot of meaning on appearance now, isn't it?
Sure.
So I'm not saying that for either of the reasons that I think it's right or wrong or good or bad. It's merely an observation.
Yeah.
Appearance is important. And the appearance, the clothing and the hairstyle and the makeup are the same for everybody. And I think they will merely push you equally in either direction that you stand on when you begin to take on the appearance.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point, Doc. Yeah, so what you're saying is, if I can, you know, rephrase it to help me understand what you're saying here, Doc, you're saying, like, if somebody is already, like, deeply attractive and they, take on that style, it amplifies it, and the same's in reverse. If somebody's unfortunate enough to be kind of really badly hit by the ugly stick, it's going to do the same.
I'm not saying, as some other people have done in the past, that it is a right-wing style. I'm not going to get into that discussion at the moment. I lived through years of people discussing whether or not it was right-wing. Mm-hmm. But I think it does put a slice down the middle of culture and mm-hmm. divides and pushes people up, and mm-hmm. the people who don't get pushed up are pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think there's a good reason. I think there's a good reason why they developed the appearance,
mm-hmm.
which they have.
Do you remember? It's interesting you say that about, like, the right wing thing. Do you remember us, me and you, nearly having a scrap with that guy because he got all tasty about the fact that we like metal, because he was kind of accusing us of being fucking Nazis or something. It was some prick from the anti-Nazi league, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's an argument I love to have with anyone who feels like accusing me of being a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that argument.
Yeah, I'm the same, Doc. Check this out, right? The other day, where I work, we have to deal with Uber drivers, and one of these motherfuckers accused me of being a racist. Just because I wouldn't serve him quick enough. Honestly, Doc, I just laughed, you know, because I thought, mate, if you knew anything about me and my fucking history and the run-ins I've had with right-wing fucking nutters, it's just laughable because, the insult is so far off the mark, it's just, it becomes invalid, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that literally everybody has the risk of either being racist or being understood as being racist.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain cultures in the world, and I suppose the best thing I can do to avoid being racist about them is to avoid anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the effectively, I feel the need to stay away from certain human organizations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm avoiding using the word races there, and I'm avoiding using the word countries. I'm referring to them as human organizations, and there are some of them in the world that I feel the need to stay away from.
Well, I'm not going to presume, Doc, what you're talking about, but I will state my position a little bit more transparently. There is not a fucking prayer that I will ever go to anywhere like Saudi Arabia or Qatar or Dubai or anywhere like that, because I think they're despicable and I would not give them a single fucking penny of my money.
Understood. Thank you very much for saying so. Yeah. Those weren't the examples I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like discussing what my prejudices are. Except, like everybody else in the world, even if they don't admit it, I have some prejudices against certain cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are. I don't have any power, and I don't have any money, and I can't do anything to anyone or any organization. Mm. And so, what I can do is keep myself away from them.
Yeah. Just to be clear, my animus aimed at those particular types of countries is nothing to do with their religion. It's nothing to do with the colour of their skin. It's simply to do with the fact that if I were to go there and reveal my sexuality, I might just get thrown off the top of a fucking tall building, Doc. So I don't like them.
I don't think reasonable people insist that everyone in the world has to love everything in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you look back on the parts of was a European culture where love of the world was encouraged, then everybody allowed themselves to dislike a certain kind of human being now, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to repeat myself now. What we can do in that situation is keep away from them.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
not require that they be kept away from us.
Well, I think that's interesting, isn't it? Because by, you know, by implementing avoidance, you're kind of improving the quality of your own life without in any way affecting theirs. So that's a perfect strategy, isn't it?
I don't want to affect anybody else's life. I don't want to invade anyone else's country or force anyone to be in the If I have a problem with your culture, the result of the problem is that I want to stay away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to change your life, and I don't want to change your life, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved with it.
Exactly. I can't stand Branston Pickle. So guess what, Doc? I just fucking avoid the stuff, but I don't mind other people buying it.
I'm going to stick with that. I don't have the right, and I wouldn't require, even if I had that kind of power, I wouldn't want anyone else in the world to change their life, and I wouldn't want any culture in the world to change their culture. Mm. What I do demand is the right to stay away from you.
That's fair enough, Doc. I'll tell you what, Doc, that conversation went to interesting places. That was fun as fuck. I really enjoyed that. Should we get on with a bit of Slayer?
I think so, yes.
Oh, guys, don't forget, you can contact us on Twitter at Vercast or on email at slaytanicvercast@gmail.com. As we go on to part two. Welcome to part two of the show. Here we play through the track, stop it from time to time, and have a little bit of a chinwag, a bit of chewing of the fat and all that stuff. Today's track is... Oh, I haven't updated my script here, Doc. Today's track is Overt Enemy, which is track 4 from Slayer's 7th proper studio album, Diabolus in Musica. Let me just line this up, Doc, for you, and here we go. I find that intro absolutely fascinating, Doc, because I think until that guitar kicks in, I'll stop that a second later than I meant to, actually, because I didn't want the guitar to kick in. Because until we hear that like definitive metal sounding guitar, I think that track could go in almost any direction. It could go into like a blazing thrash metal track, but equally it could go into some like dark and gnarly fucking hip hop tune, couldn't it, Doc?
Yes. The influence I identified, and I'll be very interested to have your opinion on this, was Rage Against the Machine.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. And that's that, like the kind of buried in the mix spoken word bit and the police siren shit going on, isn't it?
The moment you switched it off, if a man had been about to go, yeah, come on, it wouldn't have been surprising to.
There you go. Yeah, I think you're spot on. Should we press on?
Yes, please. Thank you.
same way the people.
It is sludgy as fuck, isn't it, Doc?
Oh, it's an absolutely delicious and delightful example of Slayer having fun.
What do you mean?
They start the song with a completely different style that they have almost never used anything similar to in the past.
Yeah.
And then almost they dress up as themselves. Not in a mocking way, but in a self-mocking, smiling at themselves way.
You think it's a bit parodical, Doc?
No, I think it's... No, this will... Parodical goes back to what we were talking about a week or two ago, laughing at themselves and laughing at other people. It isn't laughing vulgarly at themselves. It's beginning a song with a style which they're not well known for using. But as we've discussed over the past 3 weeks, and I'm not going to go into again right now because it will be boring, but because of the period of history we're in and the things that they're at least, if not influenced by, are able to hear on the radio, and which, who knows, they may actually enjoy. Well, what they decided to do was to not laugh but smile at their supporters and at themselves, and do a bit of another style.
I tell you what, I think this is interesting. I struggle with sludge in general, or sludgy stuff, stoner kind of rock and metal just doesn't really float my boat very often. I think why I like this so much. It's because it's got that vibe, but then because it's fucking Slayer, it's got, you know, just the, it's just got those, you know, those typical minor chord progressions. It sounds sinister as fuck. So it's like evil sludge, isn't it? Doc, I think it's fucking great.
Well, you're damn straight. You're damn correct. It is a bit like updated Black Sabbath, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, you got it. You know, and I'm sure we've waxed lyrical about Sabbath before, and how they, they're brilliant right up until they're not, and then they're dog shit. that might be vaguely heretical to say on a metal podcast, but fuck you if you don't like it. Not you, Doc. You know. Let's
press on. It follows on from what I was just saying. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Let's press on, Doc, because I'm really enjoying this. Here we go. They've never done anything like this before, have they, Doc? It's like a slab of granite being fucking dragged along.
It's very quick mention of the obvious Black Sabbath reference, which is... The vocals and the guitar are playing the same tune at the same time. And that actually wound me back to what, age 18 or 19, when the friend I had who was good at music criticized Black Sabbath, also criticized Joy Division.
Sorry about
because
that.
They had no attempt. It's all right. you are
because why? Sorry, Doug. Go
the guitar.
I couldn't resist that line.
I know. The guitar and the vocals follow the same line.
Yeah.
Which the song does. So I'll cut myself off there. I'm finding it really, really enjoyable at the moment.
Yeah, I am as well, actually. So let's carry on. You know what I'm asking now, don't you, Doc? Name that solo. Hanneman or King?
King.
Hanneman. Sorry.
King.
Hanneman.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, mate.
It's almost a relief. It's
gone. It's almost a relief.
It's almost a yes.
Solo.
King.
Hanneman. He's got two in a row. <That's unbelievable. laughs> Yeah. Both solos in this track, mate, are Jeff Hanneman jams. Now I'm just gonna move it back about 5 seconds. And then we've got 1:48 to go, and then I'm just gonna play the track out, Doc, because the ending to this is ball blazing. We ready?
Ready?
Yeah. So that was Overt Enemy, track 4 from Diabolos in Musica. Doc, I think it's absolutely fucking brilliant. Go on, Doc, if you want.
I was just going to say, just recalling or going back into what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
When I was little, one of the worst things that you could open your mouth and say about modern music was that Joy Division were influenced by Black Sabbath, mm-hmm. which was considered to be insulting to Joy Division. Now, my view...
Would Joy Division be insulted by that, or would they just nod and say, yes, of fucking course we were?
Joy Division, of course, wouldn't say anything because they never did.
It's almost like Dark in 1978 to 1980. You know, it wasn't possible to be in any kind of vaguely rock band in Britain, was it, without being fucking influenced by Black Sabbath?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. I've always thought of Joy Division and Black Sabbath being the versions from their cities of the same concept,
mm-hmm.
musically and lyrically.
Sure.
So Joy Division never actually used the word Satan. but apart from that, the one band seems correct to have been from Manchester, and the other band seems correct to have been from Birmingham. Other than that, they're very, very similar ones that just happen to have been separated by about 10 years, mm-hmm. as little as 10 years, and 10 years seems nothing in the context of today.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, it doesn't, but you know, we've spoken about it before, that the speed of progress in music back then was astonishing, wasn't it? The difference between, you know, the music that was being churned out when Black Sabbath pumped out their first album and when Joy Division pumped out their debut they're just fucking poles apart, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, the peak of Black Sabbath was, I'm going to say 1970 or 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And the peak of Joy Division was 1979.
You,
you know, which is a mere 8 years apart, but yeah. the world of music in the UK was completely different.
Yeah, because in that period, you know, just think about this, Doc. In that period, you'd been through, you know, the shit show that was glam, and that had been and gone, and punk was still kicking around, wasn't it? You know, so you know, you'd had two kind of real big musical movements.
Number three, agreeing with you, but yeah. prog rock had arrived and gone.
Yeah.
In those 9 years.
Isn't that fascinating, Doc?
It had arrived and it had come from nowhere and disappeared completely, like up from nowhere, down into nowhere within those 8 or 9 years.
Isn't that fascinating, Doc? Like the pace of progress. Think about this, right? You know, prog rock kind of came and went in about 5 or 6 years. But in modern terms, the likes of like Ed Sheeran and fucking Taylor Swift and shit like that, they've already been kicking around for 15 years and they seem to show no signs of fucking off anytime soon. What a lot of bollocks, Doc.
Or changing at all, yeah. or developing their own style, yeah. or doing anything new.
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? Yeah. It seems as if modern audiences are just content to swallow the fucking warm diarrhea of the people they're fucking told to, and it makes me fucking sick, Doc.
Well, it's always been a curious observation for me, mm-hmm. that we're told, are we not, that modern technology, in particular, and the internet, etc., 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 are moving things more quickly. Except it sometimes looks to me as though they're not moving things at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've spoken about this, haven't we? Like, isn't your theory that culture stopped in about 2010? Which always makes me chuckle.
Yes.
Yeah. Doc, did you like the song?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Anything you want to say before we get into the lyrics? Because they're quite meaty.
Let's move on as quickly as we can, I would like to spend some time on these lyrics.
I thought
and because one of the things I want to know is there a Joy Division and or Black Sabbath influence on the lyrics as well as the music?
Wow, here we go. Doc's got a thought. I can sense it. let's move on. Welcome to part three of the show, which we call...
Evil speak.
Evil speak. Here, we read through and dissect the lyrics that Tom is generally screaming in our faces. let's start now. It's quite long, this first bit, Doc, so brace yourself. Breach your life, indoctrinate, police your thoughts, ask why I hate. I lose control when I see your face. Abusing power, I infiltrate. Continue lies, then masturbate. I walk the line, I'll do no time. I hate your church, I'll burn your state. A bleeding heart, a seal of fate. There is no crime within my mind. What's he waffling on about, Doc? I suspect you've got some thoughts.
Well, there's no doubt about what it's about now, is there? I mean, there's no like usual guesswork to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, before this section began, I said I was going to try and see if I could spot any similarities between these lyrics and Joy Division, Oblique Stroke, Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, so far, I can't.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, these are, going back to what we were talking about earlier, these are a statement of war, aren't they?
But war against what?
Or who? In general, and we're going to get down on this later on through the lyrics, I think, mm-hmm. but in this first section, it's merely a war against religion, with a little r.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes.
Ah, that's very interesting, Doc, because I don't get that at all. I mean, of course, I respect your views, Doc, but that's not my interpretation in the slightest. But my interpretation is this is a song, and this is like the opening salvo, obviously being the first verse about I think he's railing against government propaganda and lies.
Hmm.
That's where I come from. I breach your life, indoctrinate, police your thoughts, ask why I hate. So, you know, it's like, you know, this is almost like the Orwellian thought police. I think it's kind of almost like the right-wing paranoia about big government. That's my stance on it, Doc.
Not even the first time I worked in an office with Muslims, but one of the early moments that I worked in an office with Muslims, and we began talking about politics.
Mm.
And the Muslim man admitted that he was confused by the fact that, what should we say, British Christians, or, yeah, we'll say that for now, considered that religion and politics were different,
mm-hmm.
Because he didn't.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to leave that statement there right now, and we'll come back to it later on as we discuss the song.
Right, Doc. Yeah, no worries. Anything specific? Any lines like jump out at you?
I hate your church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stood out to me as well. Yeah, because that comes out of left field, doesn't it, when you read the rest of the lyrics?
Well, it comes out of their field in general. They're normally very specific about the church and the anti-church mm-hmm. they're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
To have a statement like, I hate your church.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a blanket statement, isn't it, basically? Effectively, yeah. It doesn't matter which particular fictional deity you believe in. I hate you all.
Well, I mean, let's go back to the point I raised a minute previously. Imagine if he's referring to church here, not merely as your religious organisation, but your political organisation, too.
Go on, Doc. Sorry, Doc. I'm slightly distracted there. Can you repeat that for me, mate?
Yeah. A minute ago, asked us to please consider the fact that Muslims, at least, consider church mm. and politics to mm. be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a difference. Now, mm-hmm. if you can hold that thought just for a second, then what he's criticising here is, I don't merely hate your religious organisation, I hate your political organisation too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care who you are, and I don't care what it is that you believe in or support, I hate it.
Yeah, sure. Another line that jumps out is, that then masturbate, so you've got abusing power, infiltrate, continue lies, then masturbate. Now, I mean, it's a strange word, isn't it, masturbate? Because obviously, you know, it's like it can be quite juvenile and chucklesome. But here, I think it's just saying, you know, I think he's just using it to be demonstrative of an organisation that is so sure of itself and so content that it has power over the people. Under it, that you know that it's just delighted. So that it's just delighted. It's like orgasmically delighted, basically. That's why I read that, Doc.
I'm going to extend on that correct statement that you just made.
Yeah.
One of the things about witnessing the way that religions are practiced in general is, for a significant part, people do it for reasons of masturbation now, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They worship God in exchange for what God will do for them.
Mm-hmm.
They support their religion for reasons which is concerned with what their religion can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to lick a cunt.
You should see the Doc's face. He's so proud of himself. That's amazing. Come on, Doc. Keep going.
They don't want to satisfy anybody else or anyone's organisation.
Yeah.
The number of people is quite a lot who've attempted to convince me that Christianity is a good idea because it can do a lot for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's like The Secret or something, isn't it? You're like that Noel Edmonds fucking nonsense where if you just wish something big enough or hard enough, you're going to get it. You know, which is obviously patent nonsense. I had a thought there, Doc, but my mind went blank because I just kept thinking about you saying lick a cunt.
Here's what I think the reference of the word masturbate is here.
Go on.
The conclusion I came to after years and years and years of despising religion in general was that religion is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes religion or the book you're reading or God will say no to you, or will mm-hmm. say, stop being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to gain anything from the religion or from the God, you must train yourself to accept being told that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's now, I've just given myself another confusing question here. I was about to say that's the opposite of masturbation. But mm-hmm. of course, some people masturbate by hurting themselves. Don't you? Some people masturbate by having a lighter under their balls or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that you know those freaks that kind of they kind of inject fluid into their scrotum to the point where the ball bag is almost about to fucking burst. Yes. Or there's other fucking nutters. I tell you what, Doc. I've seen a video of this, and it's one of those videos that I wish I'd never seen, because every so often in the dead of night, he just fucking haunts me, flicks back into where you've got this big fat guy lying on a bed, face down, right? And his bollocks are, you know, just kind of, he's got his legs wide open, so he looks like a big fat Y. So his bollocks are right there, and there's a woman in stilettos stamping on his balls, mate. It's honestly, mate, it's just Jesus fucking Christ. Just if that's what you need to get off, mate, just, why don't you just fucking kill yourself? You know, it's so extreme.
Well, I'm going to ask you about this because in my life I've never been anything like a Catholic. You used to be a you were brought up for years and years and years as a Catholic. And Catholicism, for me, on the outside, contains a lot of those concepts of pain can be enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what you should do is at least not object to being put into pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose it's about following the footsteps of Christ, isn't it?
Well, their understanding of what the footsteps of Christ are, mm-hmm. you know, which is different to ours now, excluding you, but the Church of England raised people. And I'm repeating myself here, but when I was very young, and it was still the 1970s, there were still hippies about, we were encouraged to think of Jesus as being a revolutionary leader. And I mean, that's it.
It's really interesting you say that, Doc. My very early days, I was raised as a Catholic, and that probably went on until I was about 10 years old. I kind of renounced my Catholicism at the age of about 7 or 8, even though, of course, I didn't realise that's what I was doing, but I did, because I started to refuse to say the Lord's Prayer. I wouldn't take part in any of the religious shit at the Catholic school that I went to. Then my mom met another man, and she converted to Methodist. And so we started going to the Methodist church instead of the Catholic church. And I've got to tell you, Doc, even though I still thought it was a load of old fucking pony, I much preferred it. You know, I thought it was a nicer environment. I thought the people were nicer. Instead of the services being these like terrifying rituals of fucking, you know, dominance and trying to tell you how sinful you were, it was a bunch of fucking hippy dippy fuckers with an acoustic guitar singing Kumbaya, and I didn't mind that, you know.
I hope this will make you smile or laugh. We had a book at primary school, not a textbook, but it was definitely a amusement book that was handed to us by the primary school with stories of God and Jesus in it. And they had drawings in them. And I didn't realise it at that age, although I still had the book when I was old enough to realise it. And I couldn't actually believe that people handed this book out to primary school teachers handed this book out to primary school children, because God was drawn to look like Karl Marx. And Jesus was drawn to look like Che Guevara. And Satan was drawn to look like the then president of the US.
Wow. Would that be Reagan at the time?
Satan was drawn to look like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, how about that? Doc, we've got some more words to get through. I'm gonna hit with the chorus. It's only three lines. I'll sell your life and preach your death, a wicked plan born of contempt, bleeding my ideology through pain. Now, that use of the word preach seems to almost kind of back up your notion that this is about religion. But I just think I think that word is being used very loosely. I still think it's about government, not religion. But then again, as usual with Slayer, couldn't it just be about both?
So let's go back to the very first point that I made in the song. I think it is inviting us to think of religion and politics as being the same thing, even in our culture.
Oh, there you go, Doc. Yeah. That's it, isn't it? It's super smart writing, isn't it?
Yes. It's. I mean, in because this is the 90s and we're supposed to be more used to the rest of the world, we are supposed to understand that there are popular religions elsewhere in the world that, and I'm repeating myself here, I know I am, but I don't think I can say this often enough. There are other religions different to ours, which are very powerful elsewhere in the world, that do not draw a difference between religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And what Slayer are inviting us to do here is view this with respect to our own lives.
Sure.
And this explains and justifies the line, "I hate your church."
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm stretching this a bit far, but I'm going to stand by it. Think of all religions and all political systems as being... So every religion has its own political system or a political system that's associated with it. As I just mentioned, happened to me in primary school, and as I also mentioned that I was that was explained to me by somebody else when I was at work. And that's what... we were mystified by this line 5 minutes ago, and I think we've got it now.
Yeah.
Hate is another word for understand.
What do you mean by that, Doc? I don't understand what you mean by that.
I hate your church. In other words, I understand your religion, a bleak stroke political system.
And I don't like it.
Or probably I don't, but that doesn't matter.
No, but there needs to be an addendum there, because we can't have hate and understand as synonyms. That don't make sense, Doc, to me.
I think it does in the world of heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is, and we're going back to ancient religion now, hate is merely the strongest feeling, isn't it?
And so you say, of course it is. And are you saying, well, I'd say hate and love are the two, you know, but like the polar opposites, they're the two extremes, aren't they? And they can have just as profound an effect on you.
In the world of metal, hate is stronger than love.
Yeah. There's got to be a song called that. Hate is stronger. That's got to be a lyric somewhere, hasn't it? It's got to be. Doc, do you want to hit us up with the next verse? Can you go from audacious plans down to my secrets I defend?
Audacious plans, I calculate a new world view. I'll reinstate. Don't cross my path or I'll see you burn. You'll meet your end. Find death alone. No grave to mark the seeds you've sown. You've pushed too far. My secrets I defend.
Nice one, Doc. That's it. And let me tell you, Doc, every week your reading gets better and better and better. I'm so fucking proud of you, mate. It makes me want to burst.
I think at this stage, I'll keep it short, but I owe members of the audience an explanation for why I apparently almost can't read. One of the reasons, or the reason I took a break 2 years ago was I had... heavens, I can't even remember what I had. Can you remember what I had?
I can. I can say. You were found in your apartment in Japan, mate, on the floor, cut in a pool of blood with a smashed in fucking head.
Yeah. yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember why that was?
Well, no, because nobody knows. It's a mystery. The apartment was... There was no forced entry. There's no sign of any kind of theft or, you know, but it appears that there was, you know, it appears that somebody had inflicted like a blunt force trauma injury on you for some reason, and we don't know why, and it nearly killed you.
No, and I don't even know that it wasn't just me. But
we just don't know, do we? We just don't know, do we? We don't know what happened.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have, with help, I've recovered quite a bit, but I'm still not quite snapped back to the level of reading that I had.
But two years ago. Pretty much everything else, you're like 95% there, aren't you, Doc?
I've recovered with almost all of maths and physics and chemistry, and programming, I'm going to whisper this. I think I might be better at drawing now.
Wow! Oh, that's interesting. Because dear listener, the guy that I'm speaking to is without question the smartest man I've ever met in real life. it's just the truth, Doc. And you know, for him to suffer that injury to his brain was traumatic in the extreme. Doc, the fact you're sitting there and we're having this conversation, I'm going to cry.
I've discovered the ability to smile and laugh at it. I can now walk past most people who would previously have intimidated me and think to myself, I've survived something that would kill you.
Yeah. Doc, the fact that you're sitting there, I consider like a minor miracle. Yeah, and I'm glad you're there, mate. Can we get back to the lyrics before I embarrass myself?
Yes, please do.
Yeah. So I think this one, this verse, for me, reinforces my notion that this is about government more than religion. I am taking your position on board, Doc. I promise you. And I think I think you're probably right that it is about both. But I think in this verse, he's concentrating on the government side of things. This audacious plans I calculate. It's governments that have plans of like domination and like control, isn't it? I mean, I know religions try and control, but it's governments that actually have that kind of domination factor, isn't it?
Oh, crap. Now, here's one of the reasons that here's one of the possible reasons that I have the thought that I've had up until now. I've studied politics enough to believe that I understand government, but I'm still very ignorant about about religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still very ignorant about it. And about the nature of belief, and the result of which is that whenever I see something that clearly mentioned or has reference to both, and there's a bit I don't understand, well, my mind goes, that must be because of religion then. Mm. That must be to do with religion.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, my first statement, which I'm still standing by, is that this song is addressing the fact that what we have to get used to is the fact that there is no difference between religion and politics. Mm-hmm. They're not merely associated with each other. There is no difference between them.
I'm willing to go with it, Doc. I'm willing to go with you on this one. You know, I've got my position, but you are swaying me into, you know, into what you're saying here. And any lines jump out, Doc, from this first before we move on to the next one?
I would like to remind everyone out there that we don't always agree with each other. We don't always say the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of this exercise is not for one person to convince another. It's for us both to state what we think.
Mm.
I have learned from taking part in this discussion, or I've been encouraged to think about many, many, many things. Mm. So we're not aggressively arguing with each other.
No, not at all. Doc, one of the reasons I love talking to you, there are three people in my life that I absolutely love having like proper deep conversations. One of them is kind of a new arrival, a beautiful young woman.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is you. And then I've got a mate at work called Little John, because he's only about 5'4", but he's got a massive brain. And the important thing is, with all three of you, I don't necessarily agree with you, but, you know, I think, you can all like justify your positions. You're all kind of deep thinkers. And when you speak, I pay attention because it educates, informs, and opens my fucking mind, mate. And that's really important, isn't it?
Well, here's the very important thing to remember about me. And I've maintained this opinion of myself throughout my life. I don't know the truth.
Mm,
all I can do is read stuff,
yeah.
And criticize it and come to conclusions.
Yeah.
Also, our education has been different,
mm-hmm.
And our experience in life has been kind of different.
Yeah.
The fact that we don't agree with each other doesn't—we're not inferring that one of us is wrong and one of us is right.
Exactly.
We're different people with different experiences.
Exactly. By definition, your opinion is correct, even if I don't agree with it.
Yes. My opinion is just correct.
Yeah, we'll leave it there and move on to the next verse. Here we go. Now, this is a real long stretch. Here we go. Brace yourself, Doc. It's going to take a while. Demonize what is feared, profane architect, skull and bones through the mind, barbaric thoughts of old, celebrate all unknown. At last, the dead await. The die is cast for the meek, inherit endless time, smell the victims are near, consume the catalyst. Hunting masses for game, implanting septic thoughts, reaping terror through words while armed behind your back. Pseudo leaders betray, enslaving all of mankind. Cast out the demigod, dethrone the demagogue. Cast out the church god. I command your life and I don't care. Let bullets rain from everywhere. No suicide will save you from yourself. I mean, fuck me, Doc. Talk about nihilistic shit. Jesus Christ. What was he fucking smoking when he wrote this?
Right. While I think about it, I've got a question to... I don't intend this to go on the broadcast. When you edit it,
yeah.
Could you remove the, 5 seconds or 10 seconds where you make a reference to Japan and something that happened to me in Japan? Could you remove that, please?
Yeah, of course I can. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you kind of explained, well, you tried to explain, but you couldn't, so then I did. Is that the bit you want snipped out?
Yes, please.
Yeah, no problem, mate, yeah. Yeah, how come, Rich, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm a little nervous about talking about it in public at the moment.
It's all right, but
particularly mentioning Japan.
That was my mistake, was it? Actually, so what about if I snip out the word Japan?
It wasn't a mistake. No, sorry.
But what I'm saying is, what about if I just snip out the Japan bit? Because I've got to tell you, Rich, that was a great fucking moment in the episode. If you want it gone, mate, it's gone.
Yeah,
don't worry.
No, but just please take out the reference to Japan.
Just to go to Japan. All right, mate. No worries. I'll make sure that happens.
Thank you.
Yes, no, you're welcome, man.
If you want to use a beep over it, that's also completely okay.
Oh, so is that all right? So if I can say you were in beep and this happened, that'd be all right.
Yeah, or even...
Yeah, you were in Satan and then this happened, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that, mate. Yes. All right, there will be no reference to Japan, mate. All right. So I just said, hang on, let's rewind.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck me, Doc. Talk about bleak and nihilistic shit. What the fuck was he smoking, mate, when he wrote these lyrics?
Nothing. not enough pot.
Not enough. I don't know, mate. I don't fucking know. But this section is really interesting, and I think it does crystallize and confirm your thesis that this is about both religion and politics at the same time, because I think that second verse was the politics bit, and then I think this one is clearly the religious bit. You know, like lines like "Bob out thoughts of old," "The die is cast for the meek," all of this kind of stuff. That's the religion bit, isn't it?
The single word that drew my attention here was demagogue.
Yeah, well, I looked at that I looked at that one because it's an awesome word, isn't it? And clearly, you don't drop that word for fun, do you?
No, you don't. It's one of those words that has to be used for a very specific reason. So, what do you think the very specific reason is, if you were interested in it too?
Well, I need to ask you, Doc. I'm a qualified English teacher. You know, my literary skills are quite good. My vocabulary is way above average. I don't really know what a demagogue is, Doc. So could you explain it, please? I don't really know. I've got like a vague sense. A demagogue would be my feeling, my hunch is that it's like a deity or a god that is in the position of power without just cause.
This is supporting you, and I don't know if I'm right either. It's a notch below a god, isn't it? It's superior to a human being.
I'm Googling it, Doc. We've got to find out, haven't we, what that fucking word means.
Yeah. My understanding of it is that it's a kind of creature or life which is being a god, but above being a human, or maybe to one side of being a human, being a spiritual only.
I found the definition, Doc, and this is absolutely fascinating. It kind of supports my theory. Well, no, actually, it absolutely supports my theory that this song is about politics, not religion. So this is from the Oxford Dictionary. We've got two definitions. One is a noun, one is a verb. So I'll give you the verb first. Rhetorically exploit an issue for political purposes in a way calculated to appeal to the desires and prejudices of ordinary people, right? That's the verb form. The noun form is a political leader who seeks support by appealing to the desires and prejudices of ordinary people rather than by using rational argument. This kind of backs me up, doesn't it, Doc?
I think it backs both of us up, yeah. But you were closer. So it's a human leader or a human character, isn't it? Who won't justify anything they say or think. They will just say, "I know."
Yes, a certain orange-skinned gentleman springs to mind.
I'm better than you, so I have a borderline supernatural ability to just know what's right and what's wrong.
That's right,
without having to justify them. Just I, I, I was born with the ability to know, just to know what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't need to justify it to anybody.
Yeah. It's like being in a work situation, isn't it? And your manager asks you to do something and you think it's bullshit. So you say, why? And they say, because I'm the boss, you know.
Mm.
That kind of crap, isn't it?
Well, it's that situation is more like I'm a sergeant, yeah. Or you know, I have a rank which is superior to yours, so yeah. Therefore you must obey me.
Yeah,
at which point you have no you have no ability to do anything but shrug and then do it, because
yeah,
that guy was put in charge.
or you could go fucking and walk out.
Yeah, you could do.
Yeah, I've done that before. Don't worry about that.
Demagogues, I think, are... I think we use the word meaning leaders, don't we? Mm. Or close to leaders, maybe, who manage to convince people. I think this is the difference. They manage to convince people that they have supernatural abilities to understand or be able to give orders.
Mm.
They know stuff that you don't, or they have support that you will never have, either because of their family or their class, never ever to do with education. Mm-hmm. It's never to do with education.
Mm.
It's to do with something typically that they inherited or they were born with.
Mm. These last four lines, I tell you what, I mean, Slayer have got fucking nihilistic in the past, of course, because that's what they do. That's why they were put on the planet, isn't it? But these last four lines, my Christ. Well, in fact, the last six. I command your life and I don't care. Let bullets rain from everywhere. No suicide will save you from yourself. Honestly, Doc, that is so fucking dark.
There's a reference here. It reminds me of something I was taught in primary school, which I'll remind everyone was a Christian primary school. Mm. And it was the reason that the Christian church became more powerful than the dominance of Romans.
Yeah.
And what we were told, and we were about seven or eight, and we were told the Romans would remind you and force you to understand that they controlled your life. The Christians reminded you and forced you to understand that they could control not just your life, but what happened to you after your life.
Oh, yeah, shit, oh, shit. Yeah. That's absolutely. Yeah, so we haven't just got you now, we've got you forever.
Well, hence the line, no suicide. Suicide mm-hmm. is no use to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no suicide will save you from yourself, because even when you're dead, you're still fucked. We're still coming to get you.
Yeah. We can't just hang you or crucify you or burn you.
Mm-hmm.
We got you forever.
That's it. Wow. Crying out loud, Doc. Oh, what do you think of these lyrics, Doc? I mean, hand on heart, I think they're fucking brilliant.
Well, I mean, they're in the league, aren't they? So let's rewind ourselves a bit. We approached this album kind of prepared for it to be a step back or a step down or not as good as the previous releases. But once again, we're forced to correct ourselves this week. This is absolutely up there with anything they've ever done in the past.
It's fire. It's absolute fire, Doc. There's no doubt about it. I got a bit miserable, didn't you remember, in track two, because I was like, oh, Christ, no, please don't let the rest of the album be like this. And now we're track four, and that's the only little blip. Every album's got a blip, hasn't it? So, Doc, I thought they were fucking great words. Should we move on to the final part?
Before we move on to the final part, we've just finished the words, and it's forced me to, I won't say change my mind, but make a reference back to one of the first things I mentioned during our review of the music.
Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed the beginning of the music, and it seemed to have a broad smile. And let's have fun with this music. We get to the end of the words, and it couldn't be more than opposite now, could it?
That's really interesting. Yeah, I never thought of that, Doc. Yeah, the actual, like the bipolarity of the music compared to the words, because the words are just dark and sinister, and you know, burn the world and fuck everything. But the music's kind of kind of fun. Sludgy fun, but fun nevertheless.
Well, the ultimate polarity is between the beginning of the music and the end of the words.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah, because it starts off, in that fashion, and then ends with those last fucking six lines that make you want to switch.
It's a bit like the New Testament, isn't it?
It certainly is, Doc, and it's a bit like these guys kind of know what they're fucking doing.
Yes.
Let's move on. Welcome to part four of Slatanic Veracast. Here we just offer our final thoughts and summations and discuss anything we might have inadvertently missed along the way. But before that, some details. Writing credits, music by Mr. Hanneman and lyrics by Mr. Hanneman. According to Setlist, Doc, this was played zero times. Zero times. Putting it in joint last position. I can't tell you the others because there's something like 13 or 14 songs that they never played. Without doing a deep dive, I can't give you the list. I'll do that at some point. So obviously there's no first player, last player. According to Loudwire, I like this new game we've developed. I'm gonna read you the write-up, and then you tell me what position they put it in out of 119. All right, Doc. clues to over enemies' intentions are found in its very first lines. I breach your life, indoctrinate, police your thoughts, suggesting that this song from Diabolus in Musica condemns the state of global capitalism. Over a generally slothful grind, backed by scene-setting newsreel samples, Jeff Hanneman identifies major corporations, governments, religious organizations, and the military-industrial complex as the enemy, acting in unison to control humanity's fate. I think it's a real good write-up, and she touches on a couple of things we didn't even actually fucking mention there, did we? Which is like corporations, capitalism, and the military-industrial complex. So that's really interesting. That's obviously what she's kind of gleaned from those words. I like that. It indicates like a sharp mind. So at 119, Doc, given that write-up, where do you think she placed it?
60.
109.
Oh, crikey.
I know. It stunned me when I saw that, how low she placed that. But, you know, it's her opinion. I don't agree with it.
She allowed it.
She's allowed it, Doc. But not like that Joe DeVito wanker that was doing all the divine intervention reviews that really pissed me off.
Yes.
She's allowed the opinion, mate. It's fine. Any final thoughts, Doc, before you pronounce and give us your thoughts?
I'm going to have to repeat myself. Once again, this album makes me rethink my opinion of it, which I had before I'd heard it properly. I'm really, really pushing this album up and up and up.
Yeah.
Every single song we listen to.
Mate, I'm exactly the same. I came into this album a little bit trepidatious, thinking it's just gonna be like a slam fest, basically, and it's gonna get boring because all we're gonna be doing is saying, "Well, that's shit, and that's shit, and that's shit." It's not as good as they used to be, not as good as they used to be. But in fact, it's surprising the living fuck out of me, mate.
Yeah.
It's absolutely great. Doc, give me your swords, my friend.
9 out of 10.
Oh, Doc. It's unbelievable. As the reader, I'll call them readers, whatever. As the reader knows, I always
write it down before I say mine.
Correct, right? I always write it down, and the number I've written is a 6, but upside down, Doc. So it's a 9 as well. It's a 9 as well, Doc. There you go. So 2 9s for overt enemy. That's incredible. What a great fucking song, Doc. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I've loved spending time in your company.
A 6, but upside down.
You like that one?
Here's a question just before we go, is an upside down six as evil as an upside down cross?
What's that great t-shirt, Doc? I think it might be Slayer. Back in the 90s, it said 667 louder than Satan. Great. Really funny. Okay, that about does it for this episode. Don't forget, you can contact us on Twitter at Vercast, on email at slatanicvercast@gmail.com. Join us next time when we'll be talking about the fifth track from Diabolos in Musica, which is Perversions of Pain. Gonna be there, Doc?
Of course I am.
Fucking better be.